You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. Joining me always at this time of the, this is Wednesday. This is 10 a.m. Wednesday morning, and we can be heard live on The Compensatory Concept every Wednesday at 10 a.m. And in case you don't get a chance to catch us live, you can always go to our website at TalkTainmentRadio.com. And as we say, radio, the way it should be heard, the world's greatest radio. You can always go to TalkTainmentRadio.com. You can go to programs. You pull up The Compensatory Concept. Compensatory spelled C-O-M-P-E-N-S-A-T-O-R-Y. Now, some people may say, oh, now you, but no. I'm making it plain. Malcolm X said, make it plain. And that's what I'm doing. I'm making it plain so that everyone understands, because I know sometimes words can get kind of confusing to people, and I want to make sure that I'm very clear. Compensatory Concept is the name of the show. If you look for Neely Fuller, you won't see it like that. You'll see The Compensatory Concept. Mr. Fuller has always believed in putting the work before the name. Let the work speak. Everything else takes care of itself. But it's The Compensatory Concept. And then you can go and listen to podcasts that shows that you may have missed, but you didn't want to miss, but you can go and listen to them. So joining me live from Washington, D.C. is Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Mr. Fuller, how are you, sir?
I am still learning.
Mr. Fuller, tell us how we can get those two. Tell us the names and how we can get those two classic works.
Well, you can get the basic book and the word guide that is in addition to the basic book. The name of the book is The Textbook Workbook for Thought, Speech, and Our Action for Victims of Racism. And, of course, there's a basic title called The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, which is what this program is based on. And they can get them, both books, or either one, the basic or the additional counter-racist word guide, by pushing up on the computer the word tiny, T-I-N-Y, dot, C-C, slash forward, Fuller, and Fuller will be in capital letters. That's the word tiny, T-I-N-Y, dot, C-C, slash forward, and the word Fuller in capital letters. And there may or may not be a slash forward. You can try it both ways. I've been having a little difficulty lately. But that's tiny.cc slash forward Fuller in capital letters. And you should get a form that will tell you how to order the books.
Okay, great. Mr. Fuller, I know that you are constantly working on concepts. I've learned from you that you work every day. You work every day. You never rest on what it is that you've developed. In the books I've done, I'm always looking at code words. I'm always looking at sex code words, race code words, words that have religious implications, et cetera. It's the economics. How do you, when people speak in economics, how they hide real intent through certain code language. I begin to notice that back in in college, where my degree was in economics. And as I studied economics, I couldn't figure out early on, because I had no background, what's this language? The first thing I had to overcome in understanding economics was all this language coming at me. Man, and then having no frame of reference for understanding that language, it took me a minute. But once I got it, Then I began to say, wait a minute, why am I speaking this? I don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about. I need to understand what is meant, what is really meant by this. So you have always been someone who looked strongly at words. Mr. Puller, throughout the week, and I know you've picked up on it, there are certain words that are used more frequently than others. And these words seem to have steam, and they lead people either into this direction or that direction. For example, you may hear something called the Hunger Games. You know, what is a Hunger Game? You might hear something related to, of course, the ongoing situation with Trayvon, the death of Trayvon Martin. A lot of people keep saying no justice, no peace, et cetera, et cetera. All of this kinds of stuff. What words, Mr. Fuller, have you picked up on, are you picking up on in the last week, last month, that have caused you to begin to ask questions about, or begin to look carefully at, or begin to get try to get people to look carefully at? Mr. Fuller.
Well, to start with, say the Trayvon Martin case, or the killing, you have a term that's been used that many people probably didn't know about. I certainly didn't know about it, and that is stand your ground. And that seems to be what everything surrounds, all of the events, the centerpiece of all of those events concerning that killing, was a term called stand your ground.
And there's another one called the Castle Doctrine also that floats with it. But go ahead. You said stand your ground. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And I don't know what that means.
Mm.
And so, you know, if you have a law, a so-called law that's called stand your ground, it is a law. In other words, a law saying that you must stand your ground, or you can stand your ground, or you can elect to stand your ground, or choose to stand your ground. What does that mean functionally, and under what conditions, and as pertains to what, and whom, and how? Stand your ground. You stand your ground at the stove cooking. What are you talking about?
I mean, good point.
So everything must be very specific, and I haven't gotten anything very specific that I could fully grasp and say, well, now I understand what stand your ground means. And I haven't heard that. And that's just one term. There's a lot of terms, that so many that I, right off the top of my head, I can't think of
right,
now
right,
that I hear.
Right, right.
But I listen to these terms coming, the code procedure, counter-racist code procedure, which is what I write, means you try to find out what all of the words mean that are being hurled at you. Because the people who believe in racism, white supremacy, believe in hurling words at people, just buckets of words. They just throw them out there, and they just land all over the place.
Especially those words with great frequency.
Yes.
You know, and like you said, stand your ground, and a host of the castle doctrine. A man's home is his castle. Where castles out of Europe, I mean, castles, I don't know of any too many castles, and I don't know if that can be duplicated all over the world. That's relative to one section, generally speaking, of the world. So what, you know, what does that mean? You know, you're correct. How do we deal with the frequency? And we get them, Mr. Fuller, every week. We get them. We hear Hunger Games. We hear stand your ground. And all these things just come like a blitzkrieg. That's another term, like a blitzkrieg. They just boom, 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 boom. They're bombing into your brain all day long. How do you diffuse? How do you counter this language that is unceasingly? And by the way, for those who don't know, April the 4th is, of course, the day in 1968. April the 4th, 1968 was the day that Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. So I just wanted to remind people who did not know or may have forgotten, because it's been almost, let's see, 2008 would have been 40 years. It's been about 44 years ago. This day, boy, the fours are jumping here. But anyway, it's a lot of fours in this. But anyway, go ahead, Mr. Fuller. How do I counter all of these word bombs that are being dropped on me day in and day out?
People should get in the habit. All people should get in the habit of asking the user of whatever term he or she is using, the user of the words, the person who is saying whatever he or she is saying, get in the habit of saying, wait a minute, before we get to the third word or the second word in that sentence, or maybe even the first word in that sentence of just 27 words or 9 words, tell me what you mean, or tell me what you mean by all of those words put together. Tell me in your own words what you mean, but try to tell me in such a way that I will definitely understand what you mean when you say
what you
say. But,
Mr. Pillar, most people don't want to do that. They want to sit there and make it seem as if they know what you're talking about. They don't want you to think that they're stupid or dumb or can't comprehend. What do you do in that case?
You say that if you want to call me stupid, if you want to call me dumb, if you want to say that I can't comprehend, the answer is yes. And so will you please explain it, what you're saying to me, since you're taking up your time and my time explaining something to me, you have a reason for doing so. So I want to comprehend exactly what it is that you mean when you say what you're saying, not what the fella down on the other corner means when he says it, because that might be a different thing, or somebody up on some court bench or something, what he or she may mean. I want to know what you mean, Mr. Jackson, Mrs. Smith, Miss Jones, or whatever it is. What do you mean when you say what it is that you are saying to me? And then go beyond that. What is your intention, your ultimate goal for saying it? So I can get that frame of reference. I like to get a frame of reference of why we're talking anyway. See, I mean, in other words, and we try to talk the same way as if we are on trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to take the position, you've heard me say this, that everybody in the world should be thinking about, I'm on trial and so is everybody else. We're all in court and everybody's on trial.
So
on trial for what? On trial for what you're going to do on this planet when it comes to interacting with everybody else who is on the planet.
Okay,
let's share this planet with everybody.
Right. Let's take a case like that's been in the news, of course, Trayvon Martin. If you were, let's say somebody said, okay, Fuller, you are the one in charge of putting together the kind of words that should be spoken in reference to this case, not just today, but on a consistent, continual basis. Give me a list of words, or construct for me wording according to the code that would be in an effective response in terms of working toward the production of justice.
Well, first of all, if we're going to talk about whatever word we use, we'll first define it in a manner that people who listen to the word being used will understand exactly what it means. Now, take the word justice. I learned in 1994, I don't know if it's true or not, but this is what was told to me by a Larry King program on television. I forgot the gentleman's name. I think it was Jerry Spence.
Oh, yeah, one of the top lawyers. Yes.
Jerry Spence.
Mm-hmm.
And they both concluded that there's no legal definition for the word justice. I did not know that. I thought that Black's Law Dictionary would carry a legal definition for the word justice. I've never researched it.
Well, I think the key to the term is legal definition.
The legal definition.
Yeah, legal definition, yes, might be the key. It still might be a definition. But
yes,
how do you put it, how do you codify it and put it in law?
That's what I didn't know. So what I did in lieu of that, I said, well, since in general conversation, in a generic sense, everyday usage, people use the word justice, no justice, no peace. You see the word justice being used all the time. In the Trayvon Martin case, people say, we want justice.
We want justice.
We want justice for Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we want justice for the entire world, for everybody in the world. That's the way to umbrella it. And also, and that would include Mr. Trayvon Martin. But now, so I came up with a compensatory definition. I made up one. And someone years ago said, You just go around and make up words. I say, this is how I found out that words come into being. People make them up. People do that every day. Somewhere, people are making up words. This is how language comes into being. There's no law for language that I know about. I was late coming to the table and finding that out. I thought that dictionaries were like a Bible. Like, you know, you look into a dictionary and, hey, someone at some time said this word means this, and this is exact, and, you know, you got to check with me in order to find out whether or not this word means what it says. No, I found out that people who make dictionaries, who are called lexicographers, make them by going around listening to people talk. Then they come back and put whatever they have heard people saying into a book called a dictionary.
Absolutely.
And this is how it all comes about.
Absolutely.
Well, so I said, well, if this is what people do, I'll do the same thing. And since there is no definition, legal definition for the word justice, I'll try to come up with one. And it took me about a year to come up with one that I think will really hold up. Now, until I find a better one, then I'll switch over to a better one.
Okay, let's examine some of the language that's just used. Let's just break it down for a minute. Okay, when I say no justice, no peace, when I come out and I repeat that over and over again, from a codified standpoint, Mr. Fuller, would this, and I know you don't, and so I'm not talking about any specific person saying it. I'm saying just the use of those terms. From a codified standpoint, would that be an effective use of words from a codified standpoint? No justice, no peace.
I would think so, depending on what the person who is using the terms means. And so the person who is carrying the sign should be able to explain exactly what that means. Because if I was carrying the sign, what I would be saying was what I've written in the code book and in the word guide. And that is, first of all, the definition of justice. It's a two-part definition, compensatory definition, that is, one that I made up, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. That's part one. Part two, guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Now, by that definition, justice in all of recorded history, as far as I know, has never existed, because there's never been a time when someone, somewhere, was not being mistreated. I mean, people, all people, nobody's mistreated. That's what it means. No person is mistreated. And there's never been a time, as far as I know in recorded history, where everybody who needed constructive help got it. So that's a big order, but that's what you're supposed to be on this planet to produce, a situation where no one is mistreated and that everybody who needs constructive help gets that constructive help.
Okay.
That's our mission on the planet. Now, you can't have that. In other words, in the absence of that, then you won't have peace. Because I say, and I say this in the code book, the combination of truth plus justice plus correctness will theoretically equal something hypothetically that we call peace.
Truth.
There's never been
peace. Wait a minute. Truth
either.
Plus justice,
yes,
plus correctness. Now, we got a feel for what justice is. We don't know yet the codified definition. I'm going to give you a chance to get into it. But the word that sticks out to me the most in all of this is the word correctness. Because I hear the word right. That's right. The church uses it. Religion uses it. Righteousness. Then the politicians say on the right. And then directions say a right. Now, is right any different from correct? Or are you saying the same thing? Can I substitute right for correct, or is correct a precision surgical term that you're using?
Correct is a surgical term, and right is also a surgical term. Meaning what? Meaning that I say, and this is just my opinion, like everything that I'm writing is just my opinion, correctness is mathematical, meaning fire will burn, water is wet.
It's measured.
You find out from experience.
You can
right?
measure it.
Yes, you can measure it. Correctness. In other words, you cut your hand, you know that that's an incorrect situation because it starts bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then that needs to be repaired. And so you know that the correct thing to do is
Mr. Fuller, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Stay on correctness, and I'll give you a chance to really get into that correctness and truth and other very powerful words. Do you hear all of the language that's being used? Do you understand what that means? Are you able to counter it? Or are you just picking it up and start repeating it without having no understanding? More with Mr. Milly Fuller coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for the presence of radon. It's easy. To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN. Preserve your family's health and well-being. Get your home tested. Now that's living healthy and green. For radon is easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
A message from the US EPA.
Honey, I'm home. I've got a surprise for you. Ugh.
Get that filthy, disgusting tire out of my living room. You're on my favorite rug.
Calm down. You're gonna love this.
What? Whoa. The goldfish bowl.
I won't run over them. Relax.
You roll that tire right back out of here.
Relax. It's all part of my master plan to save us money.
This is not going to be our coffee table. Don't even think about putting a piece of glass on top.
No, honey. This is a reminder to keep our tires properly inflated so we can save money on gas.
Can't we just tie a string around our fingers?
Sweetie, properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
Exactly. To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
What's wrong with a sticky note on the dashboard?
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too, at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Hey, let's put the sticky note on the tire.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Justice is better than racism.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. Well, the world's greatest radio. No justice, no peace. What is peace? When we say, I just want some peace, I just want peace of mind. And people say that all the time. All I'm looking for in a relationship is just peace of mind. That's all I want. If I can just find peace, I'd be so happy. Listen, I just want to be peaceful. I don't want conflict. I don't want to argue with you. I just want peace. What is peace? Well, Mr. Puller, Neely Puller, says that peace is, let me see if I can get this right, it's a combination of truth, justice, and correctness. Now, I don't know if that's the right order or is it just those three combinations. Well, I ask Mr. Puller in a second. But more specifically, Mr. Puller was getting into defining correct. What is the difference? We hear people say, well, I'm right about it. You must be, you preachers all the time say you must be a righteous person in order to go to heaven, and that righteousness is the way to go. Now, I noticed in Mr. Puller's definition of peace, he didn't conclude the word right. Now, but what he used was the word correctness, not just correct, correctness. I guess when you put add that E-E-E, when you add that N-E-S-S, I believe that's something that becomes functional or something that you do, not just a theory. It's something that you implement day in and day out. So, Mr. Puller, correctness. Now, I have a sense of what truth is. I have a sense of what justice is, even though I'm going to go back and get a definition of truth from you. But correctness kind of sits out there, and I'm trying to figure out, can I substitute right for correct, or is there a substantial difference or no difference between the word right and the word correct? Mr. Puller.
In my opinion, there's a substantial difference. And the difference is correctness is something you find out from experience. Like, you know it's not correct to strike a match to gasoline and not expect it to have a flame. You strike a match to water and the match will probably go out. You find this out. You say, well, don't put that match too close to the gasoline, because then you might get fire or an explosion or a combination of both. And so don't do that. That's not the correct thing to do. See, these are things you find out functionally from experience. An apple is not the same as a rock. You find this out from experience. You try to eat a rock and it doesn't work. You try to eat an apple and you find out that might be something that you can do, and it'll be successful in giving you nutrients in a functional way. So this is something trial and error. So this is the correct thing to do. Don't try to eat the rock. The rock is not food. Try to eat the apple sitting next to the rock. That is food. That will give nutrients to the body. So these are things you find out from trial and error. Now, righteousness is something that is yet to be found out, because even all of the ministers, and there are many different religions in the world, and all of them are at war with each other sometimes, killing each other, actually, over what is right and what is not. That's not the right thing to do. Sometimes even ministers will change priests and preachers and people of all different religions will change what is right and what is wrong from time to time. Most recently, you're hearing here in this election, in this area of the world, in this campaign for election, you're hearing about Mormonism, and you're hearing stories that it's right to consider dark-skinned people, people called Negro, or people of African descent, or people who are called black, say that they are cursed according to a religious doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
They are cursed. These people are just, no, they're just cursed. I mean, there's nothing you can do with them. I mean, they're just cursed from birth. I mean, there's no changes you can make on them. There's nothing you can do. I mean, they're hopeless. They're cursed. They're persona non grata. Stay away from them. I mean, you know, they are things that shouldn't even be considered within the realm of godliness. And then over a period of time, some other people came along who called themselves by the same religious titles and said, oh, that's not so. That's not right to say that. And that statement isn't even right. And whoever made that statement got it all wrong. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. So now you think about all the people who died thinking that that was the right way to think. So what is right and what is wrong. And that's not the only thing. You will find that these changes have been made all down through the years. You know, about how to treat females and you know, the relationships between the sexes and whether or not there is any such thing as sex and gender. This is on the table now.
Absolutely. It
has been for about 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, gender is almost being outlawed now. If you start saying somebody's a male and a female and that there's some kind of difference going on there, oh, no, 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 no. You got it all wrong. You're wrong. And if you start saying too much about it, I mean, you just might be punished, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, gender doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, there's no such thing as a male and a female. It's all just a whole bunch of stuff.
And it started subtly with the clothes. The clothes and the words began to, when that shift began to happen, we knew we were on a slippery slope from then on.
Well, yes. And see, now, who is to say which is right and which is wrong when for thousands of years people have said, well, there is a distinct difference between male and female. And these differences should be, you know, given great regard. And anybody who doesn't may be even stoned to death. I mean, you know, and now you're stoned to death if you look at it otherwise. And you're saying, if you try to say that there is a difference, and they say, no, 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 it's no difference. I mean, that's an illusion. You're wrong. You're wrong in even thinking like that. And if you keep thinking like that, you're going to be punished. And this is more and more becoming the case, because now there's legislation that is going on. And people, if you even mention certain things now, they might be charged with, you know, being a hater. When you're just trying to say, hey, I'm trying to recognize a difference. I think there is some difference. I've heard that there is. Say, well, what you heard for several thousand years is wrong. We got another agenda now, particularly for you people. And so, right and wrong, people hit each other over the heads with the Bible and go to war. They call them religious wars, the different religions. So, in the code book, I say, well, just stick with correct and incorrect until we find out what is right and wrong. I mean, so one of these days, maybe all of the religious scholars will sit down and agree on what the Creator of all of us had in mind for the way we should conduct ourselves. But until that happens, we're kind of stuck with correct and incorrect. Fire will burn.
Okay.
Water is wet.
Let's look at correctness in a functional situation. In a marriage, give me, let's say, ideas as to what a correct relationship in a marriage living under the conditions of white supremacy, in a marriage under those conditions, what would be a correct approach to dealing with that marriage, Mr. Fuller?
We just call it a mateship because we don't even know what a marriage is.
Stop. Like you always do. I'm doing it to
yes.
you. Stop.
Right.
What
yes.
in God's name is a mateship?
Just a term that I coined. That would mean the same thing as a functional marriage, whatever a marriage is.
No. Right. You said scrap the word marriage. That's what we're doing here. Now, what?
Yes.
Give me a definition of a mateship. Tell me what that mateship would look like on a day-to-day basis.
People who are doing their best to care for each other.
Those are carefully chosen words.
In other words, they're trying to give constructive care. Anytime you give constructive care, that's functional enough. You know, a lot of people say, I'm married, but we fight all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, a question is raised as to whether or not that constitutes a marriage. I mean, you know,
What's your definition?
I demand that my wife cook the dinner and do this. I am in charge. Well, is that a marriage? Well, according to the way that I was brought up, That constitutes a marriage.
That constitutes a marriage.
Yes,
correct.
I don't have to do anything except what I want to do, but she does what I say do. And I say, you know, well, why is that? I mean, you're supposed to be equals, aren't you? No. We don't have no equality and no marriage.
Right.
I don't believe the man
is the head of the household.
The man is the head of the household. And, you know, and that's what I believe in. That's what I was taught. And according to my religion, that's where it's going to be. and anybody that doesn't go along with it is going to be in trouble with me, particularly the person that I am, quote, unquote, married to. And then someone else will say, oh, no, marriage is a partnership. And then they say, what? And then they get to fighting about that. See, so I just say that.
Does the code have a definition for marriage?
Well, it says that you can't be subject to white supremacy and be married to anybody.
But wait a minute. You cannot be subject to white
supremacy.
You cannot
be subject. You can call yourself
that. That means under the domination.
Under the domination, and for a very logical reason.
Okay, what is that reason?
You're subject to an unjust system. So therefore, if you are in an unjust system, whatever you call your relationship with anybody is out of balance. Marriage is a matter of balance. You can't get balanced in an imbalanced system. And the system of racism never did allow non-white people to be married to each other. Why? Because you depend on an umbrella called a system of white supremacy that is opposed to you as a person and to whomever you are, quote unquote, married to if that person is classified as non-white. The system is opposed to the welfare of both of you. It's just like being on a slave ship. You're on the slave ship, you no longer have a wife. You no longer have a husband. You're on a slave ship. Why? Because the captain of the slave ship has made slaves of you both. So that captain is now your conqueror. And you can't determine anything about your fate. When you're in a marriage, you can determine something about your fate.
Now,
you have someone else outside of the so-called marriage who is looking out for you, an umbrella of protection.
You okay, okay, so
I cannot guarantee anything to a wife.
So that
I can't
means,
guarantee her that right, I'll have right. a job and support her. I stood there and took vows, and I said, I will do this, I will do that.
Correct.
And the white supremacist is standing behind me saying, you're not going to do anything, boy, except what I tell you to do. And that includes this person that you so-called married to, too. Whether or not you eat is determined by me. You're talking about you're promising to feed her and care for her. You don't know what you're going to be doing the next 5 minutes because you're under my whip, boy. And don't you forget it.
Okay.
So does that gal you got.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, so that means you have a definition for marriage. That's number one. Number two, how does mateship differ functionally? I understand you say we try to take better care. Should we then, and this opens up a number of things, should we then ever attempt to get a license for marriage under white supremacy? Or should we live together without having a license for marriage? What does mateship constitute?
Either one. You can get the license, you can go through the ritual and all like that, but you cannot guarantee anything. See, but when you take vows, you guarantee that you will do this and do that. And the white supremacists are standing there laughing, you know, at you and her, saying, you know, neither one of you all can guarantee anything. I am the one with the guarantees. You can't guarantee her that you will have a job or that you will be educated or that you can go here and go there. I determine where all of you, both of you, go, what can do, when you will do it. What kind of roof you will have over your head, if any at all.
So correctness then becomes, let me see if I've got this right. Correctness then becomes adapting to a reality and being effective in overcoming that reality. Using a strategy or using a concept or words or living situations that allow you to do that. I know I went around Peter's barn to try to get there, but am I essentially on the correct road?
That's correct. That is the correct view. Because we don't even know what righteousness is. Now, there are people who will say that they know, and
yes.
you don't argue with them about that. Because
yes.
that means that they have direct, or they're implying, I guess, depending on what they say themselves. What do they know about righteousness? And they say, well, I get my cue from my Creator.
Mm-hmm.
I get my cue from God.
Mm-hmm.
I get my cue from Allah. about what righteousness is. I don't have to listen to what these other people say about what righteousness is. I know what righteousness is because I pray, and I get messages from God. You don't argue with the person who say that they get messages from their Creator, because we all get messages from our Creator. Otherwise, we wouldn't be breathing. That's the message right there.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? Whatever created us, the fact that we can inhale and exhale, we know that that's a message that's being sent to us, because we cannot control that. We can control our exhaling and inhaling, like when you go underwater and all like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have a guarantee. I cannot guarantee myself that the next breath that I take is a guarantee that I will get. You know, there will come a time when I will gasp for breath, and I will not be able to inhale. I'll be trying to inhale, but I won't be able to.
Mr. Fuller, hold that thought. This is the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. I'm Brother Kahari. Stay right there. More to come on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for the presence of radon. It's easy. To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN. Preserve your family's health and well-being. Get your home tested. Now that's living healthy and green.
Green, green, green. It's your home. It's your dream. Radon test and living healthy and clean. Make it green, green, green.
Testing for radon is easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
A message from the US EPA.
Honey, I'm home. I've got a surprise for you. Ugh.
Get that filthy, disgusting tire out of my living room. You're on my favorite rug.
Calm down. You're going to love this.
What? Whoa. The goldfish bowl.
I won't run over them. Relax.
You roll that tire right back out of here.
Relax. It's all part of my master plan to save us money.
This is not going to be our coffee table. Don't even think about putting a piece of glass on top.
No, honey. This is a reminder to keep our tires properly inflated so we can save money on gas.
Can't we just tie a string around our fingers?
Sweetie, properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
Exactly. To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
What's wrong with a sticky note on the dashboard?
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too, at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Hey, let's put the sticky note on the tire.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Justice is better than racism.
This is the compensatory concept. I'm Brother Kahari. Of course, the compensatory concept is with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and he is the classic author of two classic works that people around the world are responding to, have used, are studying. There are many study groups that study the code. So we're just one. We're the study group on the air. And you can join us at 1-877-932-9766. 1-877-932-9766. This is the compensatory concept. As a matter of fact, if you want to hear the compensatory concept, if you can't catch it live, you can always go to the podcast. You can just go Talktainment Radio. Now, Talktainment, all we did was remove the word entertainment. Remember the word entertainment? We took out the E-N-T-R and we put talk in front of it. The rest of it spelled the same. TalktainmentRadio.com. Go there. TalktainmentRadio.com. Hit programs. Pull up compensatory concept. If you're looking for Neely Fuller, you'll see it under compensatory concept. And then what you do, you'll see the programs that are put in the podcast. Past programs. We used to have as many as we could, but of course financial things change a lot of stuff, so we try to, we only have eight now that we can, you know, that we maximize, but we have eight past programs. And if you want more than eight, all you'd have to do is give us a call at 228-2200 and we'll try to do the best we can. But you can always podcast, download, there it is, every show we've done. We keep, and of course, we try to store as many in the podcast as we possibly can, because we have a lot of people that call about a compensatory concept. But you can go and listen. They're there. But Mr. Fuller is here live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. And I'm Brother Kahari, and I'm always here with Mr. Fuller. And we are dealing with language, this language onslaught. Especially if there's an issue in the community, or if there's an issue in the nation, if there's always one center issue, it seems to get more. They call it the top story, the story that everything. And sometimes that story can go on a week or 2 weeks, or depending on how long. Like the Trayvon Martin situation, it's reaching that 2 week cycle, and so people are still. You know, there was protest around the country. Sit-ins, call-ins, etc. Yet this guy still has not come forward. But Mr. Fuller has looked at language that's used in our, you know, amongst us, and he studied this for years and said, "What is functional and what is not functional? What works and what does not work?" And so, as we look at all this language and try to work our way through, because it's a lot of language. I just heard someone say escalate. The other day, escalate civil disobedience. Now, what does that mean? These are terms that constantly come at us, and many of us don't have a clue as to how to deal with it, or how to understand it, or how to respond to it. And Mr. Fuller and I are talking about some of those terms like no justice, no peace. And of course, and that's been the one that's been around for quite a while. And then, of course, there are always new terms that are revolving, like stand your ground. What does stand your ground mean? What are the implications of this? Why are there stand your ground laws or related to the castle doctrine? A man's home is his castle. A man's home is his castle. Mr. Fuller, let me get your take on that term, on that phrasing. A man's home is his castle. When you hear that, what questions or what thoughts go through your mind?
Well, I'll just start with the last part of that sentence, castle. Now, if your home is your castle, that implies some type of royalism. And in this area of the world, there were people who said they were fighting against royalism. It's called the Revolutionary War. And they said, hey, we don't want a king. We have no more kings and queens. That's why we left where we were. No more kings and queens. We want everything to be run by consent of the people who are going to be governed, and they'll just have representatives. Kings and queens give orders. The king and queen can do no wrong. They are always right. Even when they are wrong, they are right, if you want to use that term. That's a term that they used back in those days. the king can do no wrong. The king is always right, regardless. Whatever the king says, the king wants to say that a lot of people, 200 people are supposed to have their heads chopped off by noon today. Their heads are supposed to be chopped off by noon today. No questions. No questions asked. Why? Because the king said so. Well, what is it about? That's not for you to ask. Chop off the heads. Forget about it. Okay. So, if you're talking about royalty, you're talking about castles. So if they say a man's home is his castle, you'd have to ask here again. The procedure is, the codified procedure is, ask the person who is using the term. What does that mean? And then if I was asking the question, I would say, well, first of all, am I a man? Start with the first part of this sentence. A man's home is his castle. Am I a man? Under the system of white supremacy, the answer is no. Because men are not subject to racism.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be a man and be subject to racism. You have been put into a childlike condition. You're a prisoner of war. Prisoner of war is not really a man. He's a prisoner. He has to obey orders. He doesn't have any options at all except to do what he is told, or she, in the case of a woman, a female. Okay, so that eliminates, you know, a man. I'm not qualified under the system of white supremacy. Home. Do I have a home? No. Wasn't born in one. Never had a home. You cannot have a home and be subject to the system of white supremacy. You have a place of residence. You have a reservation. You have a place that's been assigned to you. No black person has a home on this planet. No place that they can call home. Why? Because the white supremacists dominate the entire planet of non-white people. So they determine where your place of residence will be.
So when he says a man's home, when they say a man's home is his castle, then who are they talking about?
They're talking about white people in the system of white supremacy. That's what the system of white supremacy is for. A white person can be guaranteed a home in the system of white supremacy. That's what white supremacy means. It means if you are classified as white, you function as white, you have been accepted as white by the white supremacists in the system of white supremacy, then you are a man or a woman, and you can have a home, and that home is your castle. That would not apply to black people, non-white people, anywhere on the planet, functionally. And where's the evidence? The evidence is right in front of your eyes. Black people all over the world are forced to move from one place to another by the white supremacists. Now you say, well, there are some white people who get foreclosed on and get moved around and all like that. But even then, they have reserved spaces for them to go for the most part. Now, there are some white sacrifices. Like in any army, you do lose some of your soldiers. But in the system of white supremacy, most white people, if they are told that they have to move from one place to another, that place is set up for them to go. And it will be a reasonable place of comfort. That's what white supremacy means. White people are supposed to be more comfortable than non-white people on the planet. Even what many black people will say, Africa is home.
Mm-hmm.
Not if you're black. It's home if you're white.
How so?
The system of white, because this place that we call Africa, quote unquote, which is really a misnomer. I mean, it doesn't really apply to anything. It's just a landmass where a bunch of black people are that the white supremacists say they can be there because they can blow them out of that place anytime they want.
Well, now, Mr. Fuller, hold up now. Wait a minute. It's a lot more to it than just that. I mean, black people have been there for thousands and thousands of years, so you just can't, you know, I would have to raise some questions and concerns about that. I just don't think it's just a bunch of landmass where black people, a landmass where just a bunch of black people happen to be. Black people have been there for thousands of years. That has been the primary area. Now, they've been in South America. They've been in Australia. They've been in Europe. They've been all over the place. But it would appear by all of the information that we're getting that the primary area that they've been in has been Africa. So I have some concerns about that response that you gave. But I'll give you a chance to come back and make another statement about it. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, they are there because the white supremacists say they can be there.
Not now, historically,
what do I mean,
Mr. Fuller.
What do I mean by that?
All right.
I mean, you're only where you are if you're breathing. Now, the white supremacists can take breath away from all of them right there, right where they are.
And black people can't do the same?
No, black people do not have. Otherwise, if that would mean that white supremacy doesn't exist. So I have started with the premise that white supremacy does exist, mm-hmm. that the white supremacists can kill all of those black people on what they call their land any time they choose to. Every last one of them can take their last breath if the white supremacists say, what I'm going to do with you people, I'm not going to have a great big explosion. I can do it that way, but I can just poison your water or anything, or not allow you to leave after I poison the food and water, or poison the air that you have to breathe. I can do that. I have the capacity for doing that, and there's nothing you can do about it except just die, and I can do that, but I don't choose to do that because I don't have to do that. I like you people to be there. I like you to be anywhere I put you, or anywhere where you happen to be, as long as I control you or control your minds. That's all I have to do, because that's control. It's not what land you happen to be on that you call your home. Your home is where I say it is. Why? Because I control you. I control how you think. I control your actions. I control whether or not you will eat. I control your water and the sources of it. I can build dams all over the place, and you can't stop me. And I do that every now and then. And you always come to me, even on your own land, what you call your own land, which is not true. And you beg me for a job at my oil company. You dark people come out of the desert with your babies in your arms, pleading for food that I throw over the fence to you. Anytime I feel like you, I'll feed you like feeding chickens and hogs. You're animals, anyway. Like the gentleman said in Godfather, all over the world, that's what you are to me. I'm the white supremacist. I am your God. I am the source of everything that you get. Because if I decide you get nothing, you'll have nothing. I'm here.
Okay. All right, Mr. Fuller, that's quite compelling. I want to thank you again for joining us for the compensatory concept. Neely, thank you so much, as always. I appreciate you.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the compensatory concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why. One should always ask it.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network,
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.